Grace, mercy, and peace to you be from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, which is commonly known as the Beatitudes. And today we will hear, the Lord blesses his saints. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, welcome to November. Where's 2020 gone? Thankfully, it's almost over. And with November begins a distinct shift in the content and in the context of our scripture readings. As believers in the eternal life that our Heavenly Father has prepared for all of us through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are to take heart. We are to stand firm. We are not to be afraid, for the destiny that is fully ours has been prepared for us, though it is not yet fully realized. As we approach the end of the church year, we are confronted with readings that speak of the end times and the things that will be ours forever. Certainly this is true for All Saints' Day. Our first reading this morning from Revelation 7 gives us a vision of the praise and honor and power we will all witness when we ultimately gather before the glorious throne of our magnificent God. St. John, from our epistle lesson this morning, provides a glimpse of these heavenly realms. He assures us that we are indeed beloved children of God. While not everything that we will experience in heaven has yet been revealed, John tells us that we will be like our Savior. We will be made pure through faith and the confidence that we have in our salvation. Our gospel lesson, as Logan has read for us this morning, is commonly known as the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And his statements are statements of blessedness, which are known, yes, as the Beatitudes, and they also speak, though, of promises. Promises made and promises kept and promises that will be kept. Promises that are yet to come. In the original Greek, Jesus speaks words of reward. Rewards that are ours in heaven. And these rewards are spoken in the present tense. That is, each statement he is telling those who are poor in spirit, or persecuted on account of righteousness, or insulted on account of him, that the kingdom of heaven and its great rewards are already theirs. They are already yours and mine. Jesus also tells of promises of blessings that are a future reality, that mourners will receive comfort, that the meek will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled, that the merciful will be shown mercy, that the pure in heart will see God, that peacemakers will be called sons of God. There you have it, promises of present blessing, promises of future blessing, directly from our blessed Lord and Savior. And this is for all the saints on this All Saints' Day. It sounds wonderful. It sounds glorious. But there's one problem. Those blesseds, if you will, which Jesus lists in the Beatitudes this morning, and he gives us 9 altogether, these 9 blessings are not describing us. Unlike many people will hear today a moral sermon on how these blessings, these beatitudes are about you and what you must do. That is wrong interpretation. Sure, we might be connected slightly to these beatitudes when we enter the sacred space. And certainly, in the living of our lives, there may be times, rare that they may be, when we might hit on a couple of these beatitudes. Yet, day in and day out, we not only have to admit our inability to be blessed by being a blessing to others, we must confess, dear one, we must confess that many times we don't even try. Deep down, these beatitudes are not only completely beyond our capabilities, they are completely foreign to our inclination. Remember, you and I are sinners. So let's take a look at these beatitudes. Verse 3, and I encourage you to follow along with me on your insert. Verse 3, poor in spirit. We are certainly spiritually bankrupt. We come to church, we read our Bibles, we pray. Our spirits seem full enough, at least in comparison to those around us. But do we pour out our spirits? Do we empty ourselves of the corruption which poisons our spirit each and every day, laying its filth before the mercy seat of God? Or do we maintain a degree of pride in our spirit, pointing out our religiosity, how we are greater in faith than other people? And this is the evidence that I am more worthy to inherit the kingdom than you. Verse 4, mourn. Yes, yes, we do mourn, especially today. We mourn the loss of Marilyn. We mourn the loss of Kevin. We mourn the loss of Lola. And we mourn the loss, even more closely, of Marianne. We miss the fellowship of having them present in our lives. Yet, on days such as these, all too often we forget when we should be remembering with joy and thanksgiving those who have departed in the faith. We sometimes mourn as those without any hope whatsoever. In this way, dear one, we are mourning in a way that turns our mourning inwardly, and we become focused on what we miss and what we miss about them. We become focused on ourselves. We lament and wallow in the absence of our loved one, and we grumble about how that affects me more than we rejoice, and we should be rejoicing in the salvation that Jesus has granted them and to us. Verse 5. Meek? No, we're not meek, not really. We all too often lash out in fear and anger rather than in humility when we're unsure of victory. We press every advantage to drive others into the ground when we think that we can get away with it. That's not meekness. Verse 6, we hunger and thirst, but it's not for righteousness. Rather, it's for earthly food and earthly drink. We all have our cravings, no doubt. And in those cravings, we pour out our energy, our resources, our time, and our affection into them. We want thinner thighs and a fatter bank account. We want clothing with just the right label. Oh, it has to be a designer label, by the way. We want a car with the fanciest hood ornament. And sadly, the tractor that's the right color. Our pursuits of these things shortchange our time, and our affections for our family. But it's worse even than that. Our time in pursuing these other gods, lowercase g, these gods that cannot save you and will not save you, prevent us from humbling ourselves and serving the one true God. Verse 7. We can be charitable without being merciful, pious without being pure in heart, compromisers without being peacemakers. Few of us have known what true persecution is on account of our faith. And most of us are far more willing to loudly defend our political views than to give a clear, uncompromising witness to the unfailing truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Repent, O pastor. Repent, O Christian. Repent, O Zion. For we are not only people of unclean lips, but of unclean minds and of unclean hearts. Each and every one of us has no standing to consider ourselves among the blessed ones whom Jesus is speaking. In fact, if we were to continue our reading this morning of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, our Lord teaches us very clearly about anger, about insults, about lust, divorce, honesty, generosity, prayer, and much, much more. It would be enough. It would be enough to drive you and me into deep, deep despair. No, not one of us can hope to achieve the standards of perfect righteousness and behavior, which Jesus says is absolutely necessary for you and for me to enter the kingdom of heaven. How then can we rejoice and be glad over such a great reward in heaven lost, a reward promised to us when we finally realize how deep and an utter failure that we are? Dear saints of Zion, fear not. Fear not for these beatitudes of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not a job description for you. Rather, it is He who is reciting His resume as the Christ. Each of these nine blesseds which Jesus is teaching us this morning is not an expectation that you must fulfill to be perfect. Rather, they are a natural attribute of His perfection, of His holiness. Read the Beatitudes again. Marvel at the wonder of His being and of His work. He who possessed the kingdom of heaven and all the power and glory and the holiness therein, He who made Himself so poor in spirit that He took on the totality of the world's sin, past, present, future. He who, Isaiah said, "Comfort, comfort my people," mourned over Jerusalem and sought to gather them as a hen gathers her little chicks. He who not only possessed earth, but was there when its dimensions were laid and commanded the sea to remain in its boundaries. He remained meek. And He remained quiet as evil men spat upon Him, struck Him with their fist, horribly scourged Him, pressed thorns into His flesh, drove spikes into His hands and His feet, and thrust a spear into His side. It is Jesus who hungered and thirsted for righteousness, not for His sake, but for yours and for mine. He came filled with pure and holy righteousness, and more than that, He satisfied your desperate need by freely giving to you His holiness and His righteousness. Though not shown mercy, or even respected by His own people, He came to redeem. Jesus, through the mercy of the Father, came to mankind, and He sought and He saved. With a pure heart, He took the ravages of God's holy word and His holy wrath for the punishment of sin upon Himself, so that you and I will see God. Not as Moses saw God. We will not see His backside. We will see Him face to face. And we will know our God. And He will know us. As we worship this All Saints Day, bear in mind that is just that, dear one. It is All Saints Day. Not just past saints, not just departed saints. It is a day in which we celebrate all saints and the unity that we have with them. For today you will see that unity. As you come here to the altar, here in the midst of us is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with Him are the saints of heaven. That's why this chancel is in an ark. And today you will complete the ark. And standing in the center of that ark is your Lord, the church triumphant, the church militant. Today, this is All Saints Day. Rejoice, I say again, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For today, He is here to give you a foretaste of that reward. So in closing, Jesus alone fills your poor spirit, comforts your mourning, strengthens you to be meek, satisfies your hunger and your thirst for righteousness. Showing you every mercy, He purifies your heart and makes you His son and daughter. So in the end, you will see God. You will see Him face to face, full of righteousness in His kingdom. He is present, dear one, today to reassure you, to give you that blessed assurance, to nourish you, His saints, with the blessings of the forgiveness of all your sins. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.